الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of khutab on the lessons from Surah Luqman, and we are on the lessons with regard to Salah. Every time I think of one of these lessons, I want to say, out of all of them, this is the most important. Then we come to the next one, and then I want to say the same thing again. So it's a question of not saying most important or less important, because they are not. They are all equally important, and they are. This is underlined and emphasized by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them specifically for us and for people of all time to take these lessons, so that we become successful in our lives, meaning the life of this dunya wal akhirah. Islam does not teach us a way of success in either or. Islam teaches us a way of success in both. The life of this dunya, if you look at the entire continuum, starting from the our inception in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to create us, and then from there into the alamul arwah, the world of the souls, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept us for a time that He knows best, and from there into the womb of our mothers, where we remained for 7, 8, 9 months as the case might be. From there we were ejected into this world, and from this world we will move, and we will make intiqal, this beautiful word in Urdu which we the istilahi maana, the technical meaning of it is death, but the lughawi maana, the dictionary meaning of it is transfer, moving from one place to another. So if I leave this masjid and go outside and somebody says, Yawar sahab kahan hai, bole Yawar sahab intiqal farmaye, to log bolenge are aisa kyun bol rahe ho, to bole ha baat bol rahe kyunki yahan se wahan gaye. So you say, if I go from here and you say, where is Yawar Bey, you say, he just made intiqal. So you say, why are you saying that? Bad things. This is not bad thing. He just moved from here to there. That's the meaning of intiqal. But istilahi maana, so people might get confused. So the point is that we make this intiqal into, from alamul shahada, which is the world that we live in, to alamul barzakh, which is the world of the qabr. It's a world by itself. It does not matter whether you went into a grave or you got vaporized by a neutron bomb, you will still go there. So it makes, it's irrespective of the way we die, or whether we are preserved in a casket or no casket or whatnot, it makes no difference. You're going from one way of being, from one alam, from one world into another world. And then from, we will remain there for a time which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides, Jalla Jalaluhu. And from there we will then be resurrected on a day, the day of judgment, Yawmul Hashr, the day of the gathering, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this day is equivalent to 50,000 years of your current reckoning. Because obviously on the day of judgment there will be no sun and there will be no months and years to actually reckon the time. So going by our current way of counting, one day is equal to 50,000 years. And after that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to take us into Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghairi hisab, where we will remain forever. So this entire long continuum, which started long before and which will go on long after, and which really has no ending, because Jannat and Jahannam are both forever. We ask Allah for Jannah and we ask Allah for protection from Jahannam. In that whole section there is this one small piece. And even in this one small piece, our ability to have an effect does not begin the day we are born. It begins much later. And the actual accounting of that begins even later. Because for example, even if you are 10 years old or 7 or 8 years old, there is the opportunity for you to do good and to collect a lot of good deeds. Alhamdulillah, we should do that. That's the whole point of upbringing of children. To bring them up instead of dragging them up. So you teach them the value of goodness and the value of doing good things right from the time they are little, so they continue to do them. But actual accounting only starts after puberty. So that is, you know, whatever, 12 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old. And then, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us and all of you long and healthy lives. So it will go on, the accounting will go on until you die or you are unable to do things that you used to do. So whichever comes first, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and give all of you good and healthy lives as long as you live, inshallah. So this small period, which is not even your entire lifespan, has such supreme value. It has such great value for one reason only. And that reason is that this is the only time in our life, in our existence, which began in the ilm of Allah and which will end, or it the last part, not end, but the last part is in Jannah, inshallah. In that entire continuum, the only small piece where you and I have the opportunity to do something and create an impact is this piece, the life that we are living today. And that is why this is so important. It's not, there's no other reason. I mean, there's no reason why this is more important than anything else, except for this one overwhelming reason, which is this is the only opportunity. When people say only live once, believe me, they are right. They are not saying it for that reason, but what they are saying is absolutely right. We only live once. This opportunity is not going to come back. I tell you the thing, when people say time passes fast and so on, and I say to myself, I was saying to somebody the other day, last week I was in Kuwait, I was saying to them that, wallah alam, maybe I am the one who feels the passing of time the fastest because of Jummah. By the time I've done one Jummah, it's time for next Jummah. I mean, because thanks to the fact that I have to, you know, stand here and do this khutbah and so on and so on, I am overly conscious about the passing of time and I must make sure I have the khutbah ready and whatnot. So I usually write for, you know, 7-8 weeks or more. So I don't have this last minute rush. But before you know it, I mean, this Jummah is over. And next thing you know, the weekend, and then time to get ready for the next khutbah. So time is really, I mean, it's before you know it and before I know it, it is gone. And recently we have heard about, you know, so many bereavements and so many deaths of people we knew. I mean, obviously people die every day. And may Allah protect us, but none of that seems to have any effect. It's only when somebody you know or somebody close to you dies that it even registers. And may Allah at least cause that to affect our hearts. The thought of death, Rasulullah said that the most intelligent one among you is the one who remembers his death most often. Why? He's not promoting morbidity or something, you know. This is the reality, and if we are going to forget the reality, then we are going to be at a loss. And that's why this issue also of not simply remembering death as if, yeah, one day I'm going to die. No. Conscious of it. That's why Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he said, do not mention death when you are eating. Just before you are sitting to eat or during your meal, he said, do not mention death, because one of two things will happen. He said, if your heart is alive, then you will stop eating. How can you eat when you have now, if your heart is alive and you are thinking of dying, that food is gone. I mean, it's if you are eating the effort of the person who cooked the food is wasted, you are not going to eat anymore. And he said, if you find that you are still eating, it means your heart is dead. So he said, you don't want to discover it then, right? So he said, best thing is, don't mention death when you are eating. Eat your food peacefully and then after that, think about death. So the whole point I'm making here is why the lessons from Surah Luqman, because they apply to this life. This is one of the fallacies that we seem to be laboring under, that we have separated these two things, the dunya and akhirah, as if they are two completely separate things. They are not separate, they are completely linked. We like to talk about networking in this world. The most networked thing is you are on my life. Every single thing we say or do has a dual effect. It has an effect in this dunya and it has a corresponding effect in the akhirah. Automatically. Every single thing we do. Rasulullah said, the one who said Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will plant a tree for him in Jannah. And he says, the expanse and the width of the shade of this tree is such that if a person started at one end of that shade of that tree on a fast horse and galloped, he would take 500 years to cross to the other end. So he just said, Subhanallah, say it now.
Subhanallah.
with deep thought, thinking about the glory and majesty of Allah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. The word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is haqq. And so at least one tree got planted. And believe me, what does that mean? It means that inshallah al-musta'an, you will see this tree. You will not see this tree sitting in Jahannam. Oh, there's my tree. No. You will inshallah see that tree in Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who puts these thoughts into my head and to make me speak these, to make these true, so that we see them when we meet Him Jalla Jalalu. Simple action. We just said subhanallah, thing happened. The same thing applies. We do, may Allah protect us from all kinds of sin and crimes and evil. But whatever you and I may have done, as long as we live, including shirk, including kufr, including everything, as long as we are alive, the door of tawbah is open. And if the person makes tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this person. Where the action involved somebody else's rights, of course you have to make reparations, you have to compensate that person, you have to apologize to that person, obviously it's part of the tawbah. Islam says if you do some harm to somebody, and that somebody is anybody, not only Muslims, whoever, if you harm somebody, first compensate that person. What you swallowed, vomited out, give it back. If that person is not there, they came and asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, if I did something wrong with someone, I didn't realize it, at that time I did it or whatever reason, and now I want to make good to that person, but the person is dead, he's gone, he's not there anymore, what must I do? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go and give it to the person's heirs, to those who inherited from that person. And then they said, Ya Rasulullah, if nobody is there, if the entire family is gone, I mean, there's absolutely no heirs, no, or maybe I can't find them, Allah knows best. He said, give sadaqat on their behalf, give charity on their behalf, and make dua for their maghfirah, make dua for their forgiveness. Accountability is the number one thing in Islam. And all of this, why? Because this life is so critically important. This is where we have the opportunity to do things which are networked and which will give us rewards in the akhirah. And that's the reason why the importance of the lessons from Surah Al-Luqman. And in those lessons, we are on the lesson of Salah. And I mentioned last Jumu'ah, three kinds of salawat. The Salah that will not even rise over our head, and may Allah protect us from such a Salah, which will be thrown back and reversed. Where Allah said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. And I gave the explanation of all that, so I'm not going into the details, they're just points. Listen to last Jumu'ah's khutbah if those of you who didn't. And then the second kind of salah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ السَّلَاةَ تَنْحَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That verily the salah is that which keeps the person away from the fahushat and munkarat, from the shameless deeds, from sins, and from all forms of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then of course the third kind of salah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do that. About which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And the reward for that, he said, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ عَيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that salah when the person stands up in the night. When nobody is watching, nobody is looking, the person stands up in the night. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And the person's heart and the person's condition is that he or she is standing between khawf wa tama, between the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment and the hope for his reward and hope for his forgiveness. That is the position of the Muslim. Bain al-khawfi wa tama. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this person spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what Allah has given. Spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to money only. Spending from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Our knowledge, our health, our wealth, our influence and so on and so forth. Our energy, our time. all of which is more valuable than money, and of course money. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this and He likes this so much that Allah said, and if they knew what I have kept hidden for them, if they could imagine, if they could see what I have hidden for them, this would absolutely blow their minds. I mean, this is not a translation of the Quran. This is my understanding of that. The Quran is very subtle and soft. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it will be the coolness of your eyes. But since blowing your mind is more understandable by you, I'm saying is blow your mind, right? This is the coolness of our eyes. So three kinds of salah. And then of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned to us to guard this salah. And He mentioned the fard salawat. And He told us to guard this salah, and He told us to establish this salah at its correct times. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hafizu ala salati wa salati al-wusta wa qumu lillahi qanitin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, guard strictly the five salawat, especially the middle salah. And then of course, whether it is Asr or whether it is Zuhr, the stronger or the most complete opinion, inshallah, is that is Salatul Asr. And Allah said, and waqumu lillahi qanitin, and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with obedience. Now many of the Mufassirin have discussed why is this importance of Salatul Asr. And please understand, when we say the importance of Salatul Asr, this does not mean that the rest of the Salawat are not important. No, but especially Salatul Asr. Why has Allah mentioned this Salatul Wusta, the middle Salah, which is inshallah Salatul Asr? Why? Because that is the time of maximum activity for people. Middle of the day. If you are in business, that's the time for your business meetings, this is the time for business, this is the time for things you are doing. If you are in other things, then this is the time when you have the maximum activity. And at that time of maximum activity, you are being called to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True, we are not talking about standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any extended length of time, but whatever that time is. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Ma'un, which I recited the first time, which is people who delay the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, woe to them who delay the salah. So what is being said here? Time for Salatul Asr. And now don't get into the complication of Shafi'i and Hanafi fiqh. I don't mean that. Whichever fiqh you follow, alhamdulillah, whatever is the time for Salatul Asr, we pray Salatul Asr at that time. We don't delay it and we don't push it back and we say, no, there is still time and so on. No. Guarding the Salah refers to everything that involves praying, everything that involves doing that in a good manner. So it refers to building of masajid, maintaining of masajid, and so on and so forth. But most of all, and which applies to every single one of us, is to make sure that we take the time out to pray at its correct time. The prayer is still valid if you, as long as you are praying within the time frame of the prayer, it is still valid. But that's not the desired thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at its particular time. And then when you have finished praying, now what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you have finished the salah, meaning the congregational salah, the first salah, still make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing and sitting and lying down. But when you are free, and free meaning free from danger, free from any other work and so on and so forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Iqamati salah. Again, establish salah. And verily, the salah is enjoined on the believers at fixed times. So once again, we are being told that the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that a person must do continuously, because this is our sustenance. This is like breathing. You don't say, I've taken 10 breaths, enough. Now no need to breathe for some time. Just like breathing keeps the body alive, the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the spirit alive. Just as the body will die if you stop breathing, the spirit dies, the heart dies, the qalb dies if you stop the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to salah, it is not restricted to tilawat al-Quran, it is not restricted to repeating the asma wa sifat illahi ta'ala. All of these are part of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's not restricted and confined to that. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the constant thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's position in our lives and living our life according to that. To walk and talk and deal as if we are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to do that knowing that we do not see Allah but Allah sees us. This is the meaning of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the issue of ihsan, where the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the level of ihsan, and may Allah make us among those who do that, is to live our entire life. Every single thing, you want to say something, think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening. Do I still want to say this? You want to meet somebody, Allah is watching. Do I still want to meet that person? And I'm not saying the answer to that is always no, no. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to say things and we say, I want to say this, Allah is watching, alhamdulillah, I will say it even better. I want to meet somebody, Allah is watching, do I want to meet the person? Yes, of course I want to meet that person. I especially want to meet that person because this is the kind of person I want to meet. So the answer to all of these questions is not always, no, I don't want to meet the person, I don't want to go here, no. Allah did not send us into this world to become recluses and go and hide in some cave somewhere. No, we were sent to be with people, to meet people, to deal with people, to make friends with people, to win hearts. How else are you going to do the Da'wat of Islam? The Da'wat of Islam is not going around, you know, distributing pamphlets or making khutbas and lectures and so on and so forth. The Da'wat of Islam is Da'wah bil Amal, Da'wah bil Fa'al. The da'wah, the invitation to Islam because of our actions and because of our deeds. Where a person looks at you, the person deals with you and says, Wallah, I want to become like this person. I want to be this person. That is da'wah to Islam. It's not that somebody looks at you and says, oh my God, no, not this one. No. Rasulullah ﷺ, people were attracted to him so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran to say, leave him alone. Don't be constantly in his house. If he calls you for a meal, don't go in the morning. Go at the time of the meal. And once you have finished eating, leave. Don't sit there talking. Because my Nabi has his own private life to lead. Huh? Imagine, this is what. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he is too shy to tell you all this. He's too polite, he's too kind. But Allah said, Allah is not shy. Allah said, Allah will say it like it is. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to reveal Quran to tell people, leave him alone. So what is the kind of attraction that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for the people? And as we know, that everyone around him was not Muslim. They were Muslim, but there were also a lot of other people who were not Muslim, who were equally attracted to him, who loved him equally. Many of them accepted Islam. And I say this all the time, people accepted Islam because they loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not accept Islam because they were convinced by some theological argument, believe me. They were people who accepted Islam because they loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the whole essence of this. So bring it, establishing salah in our lives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you finish salah, do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that is over, do salah again. Salah is also zikr. Zikr is also zikr. This constant awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, His glory and majesty in our hearts, His noor illuminating our lives. The shawq al-liqa illahi ta'ala. The desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the primary desire of our lives. This is the meaning of Islam. And this is what causes the Muslim to become beloved in the society that he or she lives in. Irrespective of whether that society is predominantly Muslim or predominantly not Muslim, makes no difference. People like those who give. They do not like those who take. Become people who give. Share freely from what you have. And what do we have which we should share? Primarily, what do we have which we should share? The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu and the knowledge of Him in our lives. Jalla Jalaluhu. And the way to do that is Salah. Because there is no way that you and I are going to be able to give anything if we don't have. People can only give what they have. Logically, you cannot give what you don't have. You can only give what you have. So the question to ask, that I need to ask myself and you need to ask yourself is, what do I have? Do I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life? Because if I don't have Allah in my life, then how am I going to introduce somebody else to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You don't even know who Allah is. You want to introduce someone to Allah? How is that possible? You want to invite somebody to Salah and you don't pray. And if the person says, tell me, if I go to Salah, what do I get? What are you going to say? Because you got nothing. You don't pray. You're telling somebody, no, you must do it. It's like doctors advising people to stop smoking. I mean, if it's so bad, then how come you are smoking? Doctors who smoke advise people don't smoke. Why should I not smoke? I mean, if you are smoking and you are a doctor, you're supposed to know, you're telling me don't smoke. So if it's so bad, how come you are smoking? So similarly, we say, no, come on to Islam fully. But very nice, let me see how much on Islam are you. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, it's not me asking these funny questions. This is what the world is asking you and me today. People are no longer impressed by lectures. Please understand this. I lecture all over the world. People don't care two hoots about what you say. They want to see what you do. And if your walk and your talk are different, credibility falls through the gap. If you can't walk your talk, people are not impressed, period. Whoever it is. And that is our problem. This is our Muslim problem today, that we do not walk our talk. We think that we know something, then we hit the street and we are telling people, do this, do this, do this, and we say this is dawah. I don't want to go into a discussion of what is dawah and what is not dawah. What I will tell you very clearly is that there is no dawah which is not practiced. Simple as that. If you want to invite people onto Islam, we have to be on Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those people who do not pray. Where he said, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ In Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, people will ask, the malaika will ask, other people will ask, those people. Imagine now, who is this ayat addressed to? It is addressed to Muslims who didn't pray. Because a person who was not even a Muslim, he's not going to say, I did not pray. He wasn't even a Muslim. So where was the question of praying or not praying? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ They did not say, لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ No. We were not among the Muslims. No, we were not among those who prayed. Means what? Who is referred here? Those who were supposed to pray, those who said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, but despite that they did not pray. So the malaika, the angels, when they see these people going into Jahannam, they are asking, what happened to you? How come you are on this road? How did you end up in this place? And they will say, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ They will make a'taraf of their guna. They will accept their sin. They will accept their crime. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسُوقًا لِيَصْحَابِ السَّيْرِ Allah said, go to hell. فَسُوقًا لِيَصْحَابِ السَّيْرِ Salah is the head of the matter. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first thing that you will be questioned about is Salah. And he said, the one who For whom that is easy, for him the rest will be easy. And the one who gets stuck there is stuck. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specially mentioned Salatul Jum'ah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what to do when we are called to Salah. And this refers to Jum'ah, but it also refers to all the Salawat. The Adhan, the calling to Salah. Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha nudiya lis-salati min yawmil jum'ati fas'au. Allah said, run towards it. Don't even walk towards it. Fas'au. Make sa'i towards it. Fas'au ila dhikrillah. And leave your businesses, leave your work. Don't postpone the salah. Wazarul bay. Dhalikum khairul lakum in kuntum ta'alamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the call is made for the salah on the day of Jum'ah, rush, race, run towards this Jum'ah, towards the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and leave your things, leave your business, leave your work. And that is better for you if you only knew. As I said, the ayat mentions specifically Jum'ah, so therefore the importance of Jum'ah. But it also refers, and it also, the meaning of the ayat is also all the five for salawat. What excuse do we have of not praying the far salah in the masjid? Especially in places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this freedom of masajid which are nearby, of the ease of going. I lived in America in winter, in the northeast, in the US, to go to the masjid which was like 20-25 kilometers away, to drive in a bad winter, sleet and, you know, icy roads and so on and so forth, to get up in the night and go for Isha or go for Fajr, is very, very tough. But alhamdulillah, people do that. People do that. And elderly people. There was this dear friend of mine, Abu Ziki. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and forgive his sins. He used to drive this big Continental. And he was a very short man. So if you saw the car going, it was like the car was driving itself. You know, you almost didn't see him. But he was there for Salat al-Fajr. In that miserable winter. And others like him. Huh? My brothers from Springfield in Massachusetts. Literally the pillars of the masjid, there were two of them. Melham Borhart, Lebanese, and Omar Yaqtin, also Lebanese. Brother Malam and Brother Omar, like the two sutuns of the masjid. You go there, they were like, they have no other life except the masjid. Both of them elderly, way past retirement age. Huh? Ajib. Those who love Allah, love the masajid of Allah. They work to preserve the masajid of Allah. They work to maintain the masajid of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. Allah said, this is not people who just do that. And who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do the things, they live their lives according to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your and my work. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who establish a salah in our own lives and help to establish that in the lives of others. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and guide you and give you the reward of salah, and to give you the reward of coming to the masjid, and to all the work that you do for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.